Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. We are so glad that you have tuned in. Thank you all for being in the sanctuary. We are so excited about what God is going to show us and tell us today. Amen. Through his word. We are in Romans 5, and we are on verse 5. And we thank God for you, and especially you. We bring you greetings from our co-founder, Apostle Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Thank God for all of you who are here today, and thank God for another opportunity to learn more about God. And we love him. We appreciate him. We thank him for all that he's doing with us and through us. Truly, we are located at 583 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Hallelujah. You can join us every Sunday in the building, 9 a.m., 8 a.m., for evangelistic teaching, and also at 9 a.m. for Sunday school. Hallelujah. Come back to Sunday school. And then at 10 a.m., we have our worship service, and God is really moving in our place. And we know that out of light of the world, we are the light of the world, and it's going to be big. Hallelujah. We thank God, amen, for you, and especially you. And we have Bible study on Wednesday, noonday, and 7 p.m. We are in the Purpose-Driven Life book. So get your book and let's get together so we can be on purpose on what we're doing. Because if you don't know your purpose, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, you'll misuse it. So sometimes we are being misused because we don't know our purpose. So let us get together and do that. Now, we're in Romans, in the fifth chapter, and let us open in the word of prayer, Pastor Ann, and then we'll go forward with our study.
Today, we just thank God for another day and another opportunity that we can come together and lift up his name and give him glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord,
thank
God,
you, Lord.
We bless
thank you, Lord.
You and
thank
we
you.
Honor you and we glorify
thank
your
you.
Name, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Truly, Lord God, you are so worthy of the praise, you're worthy of the honor, you're worthy of all the glory, Lord. You are the great I am, Lord God, and you are the Prince of Peace, and you are the great Deliverer, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that as we come today, Lord God, we are lifting up your name, oh God. We are lifting up your name, and we're calling on the name of Jesus.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that is leading us and directing
thank you, Lord.
Us and showing us
thank you, Lord.
What we need to do and where we need to go and all of that, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for it, Lord God. We
thank
give
you, Lord.
You glory for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that there is healing in the house, Lord,
yes,
God.
Lord God.
We
yes.
thank you,
thank
Lord
you,
God,
Lord.
That we are healed. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, we are healed. We thank you, Lord God, for Shannon right now.
Yes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for every doctor.
In
thank you, Lord God, for every nurse. Lord
hallelujah.
God, that may have to lay
thank you, Jesus.
On her.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I pray right now that you will give them wisdom, Lord. You
yes,
will
Lord.
Give them knowledge.
Yes, Lord.
You will
yes,
give them
Lord.
They'll know exactly what they're doing, oh
yes,
God.
Yes,
there'll be no
yes.
confusion, Lord
yes,
God.
Lord, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
But
thank
they
you.
Will walk in wisdom, oh
thank
God.
You, Lord.
I thank you, Lord God, that you are preparing their hearts right now.
Yes, Lord.
In the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Lord.
Whoa, yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Their minds,
oh, yeah,
that they may be able to do what they need
thank
to
you,
do.
Lord Jesus.
We thank you, Lord God, that you are covering her even at this time.
Yes,
we
Lord.
No fears, no doubts
yes.
will be in her mind nor
yes,
in
Lord.
Her parents and her family's
yes,
mind,
Lord.
Lord God. We all walk in faith believing that she is healed in Jesus' name.
In Jesus,
God, we
man.
Declare it is done. So, Father, we thank you for every person that is here today. We thank you for the teacher. That shall come forth on today, Lord God. Thank you for the anointing that is upon our lives, Lord God.
Yes,
to move
Lord.
Forward in you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
Thank
we
you, Lord.
We bless you and we
thank
honor
you, Lord.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That as we came in today, we came in to get a word. And we are believing, God, that your word shall come forth and it will be written upon the table of our hearts. In Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen, amen,
amen,
amen,
amen, amen.
Come
on, clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. We today we have those outlines that I promised you guys. You should have a copy of it. Amen. And we went through the first four verses of Romans 5, and we talked about justification, being justified, and it had nothing to do with who we were before we met Christ. It didn't matter what side of the track you were born on or raised on, but it's the grace of God, and it's by faith. And we see now that Paul is telling them that we are justified by faith and not by works, but it's by faith. And Paul is telling them that we should have joy knowing it, that it comes by faith and not by, we can't pay for it, we can't bargain for it, we can't do anything about it, but we got to believe for it. Amen? And so the first 11 verse of this chapter, Paul is going to be talking about justification. And there's five results of the divine justification, which we talked about last week. We covered last week. Believers have peace with God. The believers have access to God. The believer has assurance from God. And the believer has indwelt by God. And the believer is preserved in God. Amen? We are preserved in God. Hallelujah. So if we are preserved in God, that means we are safe. We have salvation. Amen? And so last week we talked about how that we should rejoice because we are justified. And because we are justified, now we have peace because we were enemies against God. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we were enemy against God. But now that we've been reconciled, and that's the word we want to talk about today, being reconciled to Christ, and that makes us now just in Christ, in the sight of God. We are now just because of the reconciliation. And what he's saying that justification does is give us peace with God. And with that peace is allow us to endure a lot of things. It gives us joy. And we talked about last week how the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so when we endure things, it builds character in us. As the first couple of verses begin to tell us, it builds character, it produces character. And after character produced, when people look on it, it produces hope.
Yeah.
When you go through something and you endure, it gives you hope for the next one. They used to say in the old church that every round goes higher and higher. Right? Every victory you won, amen, helps you to win another one. And so as you endure anything, it gives you hope that you can look forward to another victory because you already won.
Yeah.
Amen? And so today, before even we get started, I want to hear everybody's point of view or perspective on reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean to you? Let's start with Sister Ollie. What does reconciliation mean to you?
To me, I'm just going to wrap it up. It means making things right with God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. David?
It's like when a tornado hit, tears up the house, and the contractor comes and rebuilds it, restores it. Mm-hmm. That's what reconciliation is with God.
Okay.
No?
No.
Okay.
Gotcha. Kind of like what Mr. Ollie said, it's a rebuilding your faith. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Ellie?
Yeah, I think this was said by the both to reconcile or re. I guess I'm thinking of the prefix R-E, re, meaning to go around, to redo, like repent, re, means to go over or around, but pent is pinnacle. So go back to the place, the highest point you were, like at your time of salvation. So repent and rec, the re means to, like you say, come back to the point of where you had the right standing.
Reconcile. And accounting, every month we have to reconcile the books, right? To make sure that what was out of balance needs to get in balance. We need to find out what's going on so we can identify what's going on. And so something is out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Something is out of whack. And so when Adam sinned, we got out of whack. The relationship, the purpose why we were created was broken. And so when Jesus came, now it brought us back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And good standing with God. We brought us back to where we initially started. So to be reconciled is to come back. It's to repent and to come back. And so when you were driven away, now you came back. Think about the prodigal son. He went home, but he came to himself and realized that, what in the world am I doing out here? My daddy got folks who working for him doing better than me. Let me get myself back to him. So he went back. And then as he came back, he was reconciled to the Father, right? And the reconciliation was demonstrated by he put a ring on the thing. And the ring may symbolize royalty, engagement, commitment, right? So his Father showed him now, even though you did all of that, you're right back where you were. So the prodigal son was now reconciled back to the Father, right? So that's how we are. We've been reconciled back to God. And because of that, we should have peace with God. We're no longer his enemy. Even while we were yet sinners, he died for us, right? But now we are no longer his enemy. We have peace with God. I mean, thinking about somebody who have power over everything. And there was a time when you did not have peace with that person. That's some dangerous ground there. You have to walk. Well, gently and tenderly around, because you don't know where he could smoke you any minute, because he has the power to do it, right? And so, but now that you know without a doubt, this is what faith is about, right? That you have peace with God, that you can walk bold. I mean, you can come up to him bold and say, "Dad, how you doing, Dad? I need something." He said, come before the throne of grace with boldness, right? And we have the right now because we have that peace. And so when you have peace, it makes you kind of happy, don't it? You have joy. You can rejoice because now you have peace. And so now we have been reconciled back to God. Hallelujah. And it's not because of what we did. Hallelujah. It's because of what Jesus did. And so a lot of times we go through circumstances and situations where it is not what we want to do. But you got to make sure it's the will of God. We want to please God because of what he allowed Jesus to do for us. We want to please him. We want to make sure that he's satisfied with everything we do. And if we live that way, God will be pleased. And we're going to reap the benefits of it. Right? So he's saying that now we are justified by faith. We have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, you know, I like this version how it says, because we, and not only that, but we also rejoice in our affliction. That even when you're going through stuff, you can be happy about it because you know you got peace with God. And when you go through your affliction, it produces endurance. And endurance produces proven character.
Right.
Oh my God! that when they look upon you, that's why God was able to tell Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is. I mean, But God began to brag on Job. Can he do it to you? Are you salty enough? And so proven character then produces hope. And this hope, oh, I ain't going to get into that because that's verse number 5. Go ahead.
I like that saying about proven character.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes you thinking somebody, whatever, it might be their flamboyancy or their charisma, or fly by night somebody, and they just with you. You just know them for, you know, a couple months, even a, you know, a year, and people even coming into church, or maybe you want a relationship, or somebody's seeking you out for a relationship. But, you know, we don't wait to see if they have a proven character.
Mm-hmm.
We're all caught up with, you know, fascination and, you know, twinkling eyes and whatever, but we don't stop to see if they have a proven character. And even if somebody tries to point out to you maybe flaws or just, you know, you so in love, you just ignore, no, you just, you know, or you know, that's, nah, you saying it wrong. But I like that. It's not just that, you know, oh, yeah, he, and she's this, that, and the other. You better wait to see if that person has a proven character. Because that's what's going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Because if you don't go through the fire, you're not proven. Any product that goes to market has to be proven.
Yeah.
You have to go to your original test. Time and time. These chairs did not get got produced. 100,000 people sit on it. 300,000 people sit on it. 500,000 people sit on it. It was tested. The Bible was tested. Everything has to be tested. Anything that's produced has to be tested. And so we are tested because we got to be proven. And when something is proven, that ensures faith that this thing gonna work. Because this thing, these chairs got sealed and they went through a thing. When you come in here, ain't none of us. Right? Because it's proven.
Yeah, I was thinking too about sometimes every now and then to watch the documentary on the Titanic, and they were talking about when it was, you know, being built.
Well, the proven, those big giant bolts, nuts, and screws that were used in the beginning, but when it ran out and they were trying to wait on the other, but they used one that they thought was just, you know, the right ones, and they have used it to build other things, but it was lacking whatever, you know, material, ingredient, strength, whatever. It looked just like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they used it before, but not on that particular thing. And so that was one of the things come to find out, that when they be at the very end, when they were using this other thing, that it wasn't proven as the original nuts and bolts. It wasn't that they used a whole lot, but just that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So let's go into any other comments before we get started with verse 5 and 6. Okay. Mr. Ali, you want to start with verse 5 and 6?
Verse 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when we help like that, it will not disappoint us. I'm reading from the ESV. That is because we know that God loves us very much. God has given His Holy Spirit to be with us. The Holy Spirit causes us to know God love very well. At one time, we were weak, and we could not help ourselves. Then at the right time, Christ died to save us. He died on behalf of people who have not obeyed God. Okay. I'm going to hit on the 6th verse so I won't forget some things and then I go back up. Okay, when you look at the word weak, it means that we was one time powerless. We had no power. And therefore, a person that has no power or nothing cannot do anything to defend themselves. But at the right time, Christ came along In other words, Christ came for those who were not saved, not for those who were saved. He came for us who was in sin. That's the word I wanted. He came for those who were in sin, and that's why he went to the cross and died for us. And then back up on 5, like we were saying earlier, you know, when we have hope, then, you know, we know that, hope to me is something that I have been through, and I know that the Lord has delivered me before, and I know that if I'm suspecting him to bring me out of this certain thing that I may be in, I have hope to know that he can do it again because he has done it for me before.
Very good.
And those of you out there, if you want to discuss the lesson, please press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. We want to hear what you got to say, too. Press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live.
Yeah, taking up on what Minister Ali was saying, that my reading here was saying hope does not disappoint. And then I think another version says it does not put us to shame. Yeah, what she was saying, because God has poured out his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so I was just thinking, because like she did 5 and 6, and then it went to Christ. And I said, oh, my goodness, this mentions 3. I said, so I put a note, hope is a threefold cord that cannot be easily broken. Here's the threefold. We mentioned God poured it out, the Holy Spirit has given us, and then in the next verse, Christ. Died for it. I'm like, man, that's a threefold cord. That's a strong thing. And so I was reading this other a version in there that was saying the Holy Spirit, whom he had given us, but that was his job. But it used that the Holy Spirit, he was involved in issuing Pentecostal infusion. I was like, wow, Pentecostal infusion in this thing called hope. And let me see, hope is threefold cord. So his love, I think, I don't know, did we get to that about shed abroad? Was that in verse 6? For while we were still sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Because I didn't go past that. There must have been another version said that his when we were still sinners or powerless.
Yeah,
Christ died for us. But it was saying that his meeting with threefold core too, his love is shed abroad. Or another word for that is copiously diffused upon us. Copiously diffused upon us. So copious means abundance, or it means wealth. And the and so his love was shed onto us copiously, in abundantly. It was meaning his love was abundantly full of matter. It was copious. It was shed abundant. So I was just thinking this, too, that wherever you go and stand under God's heaven, meaning his love is the same, because it was copiously full of matter that was shed upon us while we were yet sinners. So if I go to Europe and stand under that sky, you know, because his love is the same. Every city, town, country, continent, that it doesn't matter if it's been shed upon you, too, wherever you go. So, and that makes for, too, a better witness in evangelism. If his love gets the same upon us, then, and, you know, what he has left for us.
How you spell that? How you spell that, copious?
C-O-P-I-O-U-S. Copious, but copiously with the L.
You see, we have somebody in queue. The area code is 770, and your last four digits is 0878. You're not live on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello? How you doing,
yes.
Pastor Butterfield? This is Brother Keith. I'm just listening.
Okay, good, good. Thank you so much for listening, man. Appreciate
yes,
it. We're in Romans 5, okay? Okay, so he's saying that his love is shared abroad, right?
Yeah.
And so have you ever had the experience where you had a loved one that you hoped for the best, that they were doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
and they disappointed you?
Mm-hmm.
And we get heartbroken over that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with God, there is no flaw in him. There's no disappointing in God. Because when Jesus, even when we don't want to do something, he don't disappoint. Because if he don't change our situation, he will change our minds about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus said, hey, let this cup pass.
Yeah.
That was his first option. Let this cup pass. I don't want to go through this. But God changed his heart about it.
Yeah.
When he said, nevertheless.
Yeah.
Not my will. Let yours be done. So God, if he don't change the circumstances, he changed your heart about it. So he's still going to change. Something going to change. So everything's still going to work out for our good. Right? And so when God has poured out his love on us, when we have this love flowing in our heart, that we have confidence that no matter what, it's working out for my good. Even though the circumstances may not be good, it's going to work out for my good. Because going on the cross was not a pretty thing. I mean, being beaten, bruised, and unrecognizable, brutalized, was not a good thing because he still had flesh on him. He still was living in this flesh. He still felt everything, right? He felt hungry, he felt sleepy, he felt the pain, right? And so that was not a pretty thing to go through. That was not something to do. But he realized, and he demonstrated to us, it ain't about our will. But if your will be done, I know I'm going to win. So we have confidence now that no matter what we have to go through, when we come out, we're going to still be on the winning side.
Hallelujah.
Right? Because for the joy that was set, hallelujah, for the joy that was set before him, he was able to go through the cross. Hallelujah. So when you begin to think about situation that comes in your life, a sickness, a disappointment, when it comes to your life, remember that the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So when you see that cross in front of you, think about the joy. Because guess what? Friday might be coming, but Sunday morning is on the way. God Almighty. Woo! I feel like running around this place.
Yeah.
I say Friday morning, Friday is going to be there. But until you get Friday, you can't get Sunday. Oh, my God. And so when Sunday morning came, guess what? One thing that Jesus came to this world without was the power of death and hell. But Sunday morning, he said, all power is in my hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, all power. Now, so don't get discouraged when Friday comes. Friday going to come. But Friday can't come Sunday can't come unless you got Friday. If you never suffered anything, how are you going to gain anything? Even this natural world, until you people get millions of dollars. But guess what? They've been in the hospital. They've been wounded. They lost their car or whatever. All you see all this big money that people can get, but because they didn't have a loss. Right? So even the natural life shows us. A seed, Jesus said, go in the ground. If it'll abide alone unless it dies. It can't bring forth nothing until it dies. Right? And so, but when we know that we got peace with God,
that the love of God is in our heart. We got nothing to fear. Nothing to worry about. Because he's going to work it out. I don't understand it, Lord. But I know you got to wait for me to get out of this. I ain't going to see it. The Hebrew boys went into the fire, right?
Yeah.
They said, oh, King, we don't even want to answer you confessing that. It's our, hallelujah, our God is able. Even if he don't do it. Woo! Even if he don't deliver us, he's still able. And so anything we go through, if we have the love of God in our heart, we would have that same mindset.
Yep.
That it don't matter what I got to go through, because if God's going to get the glory out of this, Lord, do it, Lord. It may not feel good, but do it, Lord. I want you to get the glory, because that's the purpose why I'm here. I'm here for your glory. And then, you know, I heard that song that say, for your glory. I would do just to see you, to behold you for your glory. I would do anything. Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes.
It's a comfort and a teacher.
Yes.
It's a reminder to encourage us. Hey, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
And that's what it takes. What are we going to do? The Holy Ghost got to keep you.
Amen.
Jesus blessed you and hey, take your stuff. But the Holy Ghost said, hey, you're on assignment. You came here for this purpose. That's the reason why you exist. It's for this. So whatever you're going through, you've been built for this. You've been made for this. So you can make it. That's why the Bible says he wouldn't put no more on you than you can bear. I said, Lord, you must know something about it. Yeah. This looks like, it looks like it's a big one. It looks like it's about to take me out, Lord. But God will work things out to let you know, I got you. I'm going to work it out for you. Amen? And so when God's love is shed abroad in our heart, and by the Holy Ghost, it'll comfort you. It'll tell you to do some stuff that you never thought to do. But it'll bring the answer you need to do. It'll be exactly what you need to do during that time. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments on that? Verse 5, 6, 5 and 6. And so while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And even deeper than that, before Adam sinned, the lamb was already slain. And I ask God, you know, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I question. I said, now, if it was me, if I know I'm creating something, and that creation was going to go the other way, I would just say, forget y'all. I mean, not me, you know what I'm saying? I would just say, forget y'all. But his love for his creation, in spite of that, but what he did was made provision. So provision is always before creation. Provision is always before creation. So you have been created. So your provision is already made.
Mm-hmm.
And so the love of God that fills up your heart will give you that assurance that, hey, provision, I don't see it right now, but provision is here. So I just got to walk into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it'll give us hope, whatever we're dealing with, and let us know. Hey, I don't have to give up. I don't have to give in and do like the Jews say, it's better. I was better off in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They had onions. I can't say onions, but they had onions and all this stuff in Egypt. You know? We don't want to be like that. We want to say, God, thank you for saving a wretch like me.
I was thinking what Minister Ali was saying about the gift that he had given us, and this verse 6, you know, that he died for the ungodly.
Yes,
they were
yes,
powerless
yes.
while they were sinners of powerless, that he died for the ungodly. And so I was just thinking, you know, we were without strength or the ways or the means
to deliver ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we were powerless. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything mm-hmm. to do it with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so when mm-hmm. somebody has done something for you that you could not do for yourself, you were, oh, my God, you should have a little bit of gratitude. Now, nobody has to tell you to say hallelujah. Nobody has to tell you to say glory to God. Nobody has to tell you to lift your voice, lift your hands to God. Because you're grateful that he did something that you could not have done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when you come to church, nobody has to tell you to say amen. Say hallelujah. Raise your hands. No. Oh, get up and stand. No. You think about the goodness of you and all he's done for you. Somebody said, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the money, but thank God for saving me.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Because mm-hmm. the money is just temporary. The house is temporary.
Yes.
The husband, the wife, all that stuff is temporary. But my soul resting in him is eternal. Hallelujah.
Wait till we get the church. We need to be doing that at home and out there. We don't need to come in here and put on our act. Do it out there. And then the real you will come up, the real us. Because, see, God does not discriminate. So we don't need to do it.
Mm, amen. Amen.
He has something.
Come on.
In Romans 5, it talks about the Holy Spirit spreading the love of God in our hearts and brows. Well, this is really the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit here on earth. Because in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the people had God on their side, but they had no power. Because the Holy Spirit didn't come until Acts.
Mm-hmm.
They say when the Holy Spirit come upon you, then you shall have power.
Power, yeah.
So here in Romans 5, when it talks about spreading the love of God in our heart from abroad,
mm-hmm.
Jesus operated in a confined area, and he hadn't sent the Holy Spirit until he went back to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Then when the Holy Spirit come, that's when you could see a writer, a prophet, or somebody writing something 1 year and mm-hmm. another prophet picking up the same thing
mm-hmm.
1,500 years
mm-hmm.
later.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get the love of God in our heart, you got to have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my prayers is that Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
minister to me that the Son
mm-hmm.
fill my heart
mm-hmm.
with the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Holy Spirit don't fill my heart with the love of God, then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to fall back on all that mm-hmm. stuff they talk about in 1 Corinthians 13, when they said if you give all you have mm-hmm. to feed the poor and you give your body as a burnt sacrifice
mm-hmm.
and you have not love,
you can't
be a tingling stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So that really starts
mm-hmm.
the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because it said in Luke 4:18, when Jesus got up and closed the book,
mm-hmm.
and he said, This prophecy has been fulfilled
mm-hmm.
in your hearing today.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much ended Jesus' ministry on earth and began the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because from that point on, the word of God was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
People began to go up different places, and the Holy Spirit was with them. And so when they spoke, people who needed to hear it heard.
Mm-hmm.
All of them didn't do it, but they
mm-hmm.
got a chance to hear the word. So that really started
mm-hmm.
with the beginning of the Holy Spirit here on earth. When Jesus said, I will send you mm-hmm. another comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This our new member down here, Miss Janice.
Oh,
I just want to make 2 brief comments. And the first, I just want to make sure that you understand that's why I'm putting it in. I just want to piggyback after she said about coming in here and putting on the show. And there was one thing that God spoke to me this week in particular, but I've heard it before, and he said that your private praise will produce a public victory.
Right.
A public victory. So praise isn't something just for Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's an attitude that we have all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Woo!
For real.
Praise isn't something we do on Sunday morning. It's an attitude that we have all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I do, I'm sure that each one has their own thing. I, more than any time, when I'm driving, I'm praising. Now, you might see me going down the highway. The Holy Ghost in control. I ain't going to hit nobody. But my hands up, I'm singing, I'm doing everything. I mean, that's not the only time, but, you know, God's just so good and he's so amazing, you know, that I have to praise him. I don't wait till Sunday morning. I do it Sunday morning, but I'm doing it every time. All the way during the day, you know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
My other thing is this, on the way here, they were playing on this gospel radio. I've never known love like this before.
Uh-huh.
You know, and sometimes we get romantic love. We think about romantic love. But the ultimate love that you're going to experience is to have experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God. That's love, you know.
Yeah,
and sometimes we say, but God, if you love me, you wouldn't let me go through this. No, God loves you so much that he's going to allow you to go through it. But he's going to go through it with you. Amen. He's going to go through. He's going to be there every step of the way, turning everything that the enemy meant for bad into our good.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we get saved, we have a target on our back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The things that we probably didn't go through when we were in the world, we go through now. But we don't turn around because we know that God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making provision.
Amen. Amen. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. God wants us to be a proven character.
Yes.
He wants us to be proven, because that's why when he said, let your light so shine before men, they will see your good work. That's the good work.
Yeah.
The good work that you done went through something.
Yeah.
That's because you've got people who going through the same thing you're going through, and they're responding different from you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was at Grady Hospital, they laid me off, and this new director who came in was bringing their own staffing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they were telling me, how in the world you can be so happy around here after what they just did to you? But God won't allow.
Amen.
They were trying to figure out why I'm not upset with this man. I'm still doing whatever this manager tells me to do. She's still my manager.
Amen.
She's still my boss. That don't change nothing.
Right.
Right? But people would be confused about why you respond the way they do.
Right.
Because you know that.
Amen.
God got my life in there.
Yes.
Great ain't my source.
Yeah.
It was my resource,
Amen.
But it ain't my source. Hallelujah. God will sustain you no matter what.
Amen.
You got to just trust God. But the love that you have for God will give you that trust.
Thank
when
you
love somebody, you trust them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen folks who love a drug addict, and they trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change, baby. I'm just my last time doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe him
because
they love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your child can be the worst child he is. You don't let nobody else tell you that.
Yeah.
My child good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you, they go to bat for that child.
Mm-hmm.
That's what love does. So the love of God does the same thing. We can't see nothing that God can do wrong. Because he don't do nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we won't even think about him doing anything wrong. So whatever happened in our lives, he said, oh, God, okay, God.
Mm-hmm.
What you teaching me out of this?
Yeah.
What I'm getting out of this?
Yeah.
What, how you building me some muscle, God? How you building my character, my proven character out of this? What are you showing me today? Anytime something comes in your life, don't not look about, oh, I need.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, God, what do you, how you want to get glory today?
Mm-hmm.
What I need to do to make sure you get the glory out of this? I don't want to just go through a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go through some hard times. Just to go through some hard times.
Mm-hmm.
God, what glory are you going to get out of this?
Because
I don't want to just go through something hard times just for hard times' sake. No.
No.
Show me your glory out of this. Just show me the glory out of this. So when I come out of this,
Mm-hmm. No matter what the scars I have,
yeah.
I can look at those scars and say, I've had some scars, but I'm here.
Yeah.
Disappointment, but I'm here.
Yeah.
No matter what I'm going through, I'm going because of the love that is in press in my heart.
Yeah.
That's all I'm seeing good.
Yeah,
keep doing naturally so. Why can't we do it physically? I mean, you got the worst child ears. Everybody see that child. Was, I heard that somebody said that the brigade was marching,
uh-huh.
and one soldier was out of step, and the mama of that soldier said, "You see how everybody out of step but my son."
Yeah,
everybody out of step but my son.
Yeah.
Now the son ain't out of step because what's in our heart for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to be the same way with God.
Yeah.
That we can know whatever God's plan is. That's your will be
done.
And you get the glory out.
I remember back in the day when Bishop Jimmy Lee was still here, Archbishop was still here, we used to have a lot of people that came through the Decatur Church that needed our help. But this particular couple was a man and a lady. They was a couple. They was homeless, and she was pregnant. So Bishop told the man, look, I can put her up somewhere. I got somewhere I can put her right now, but I can't put you there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that lady said she was gonna go on back to the street with the man? That's where she'd rather be, with him. She trusted him so much and loved him, I guess, so much. Until she was gonna go on back to be homeless with that man.
But they weren't married, right?
Not sure.
That's why he didn't put them together.
I think that probably the reason why.
Yeah.
That probably the reason why.
Yeah,
uh huh. And she went on with him. I said, ooh, that is love right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna go be homeless with the baby growing in there and all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how much more?
How
much? The love of God
is
in our heart. So what if they don't let you sing today?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what if they don't let you serve today? You just come in the presence of God. You're just glad to be in the number. My mama said one more time. I'm glad to be in the number one more time. So you don't get moved by stuff and by people. Because people change. People fickle. Right? You change. You fickle. Right? So you got to consider all of that, but the love of God will let you see past stuff. You overlook stuff. Just like that lady, she saw everybody else out of step. Her son was in step. Everybody else out of step. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
You mentioned not being put up and not being put on, you know, on church on Sundays and everything. When is your time and God is ready for you to be on, can't nobody stop you because God will not allow anyone to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not your time, they're not going to put you on. And what God wants us to do, be prepared. Still
that's
singing,
that's
still
right.
Preaching, still praying,
do
still
it.
Doing things in the background. So when it is your time,
you're
prepared and you're ready.
That's
Amen.
It. Oh, my God. Yes, yes.
Some people think waiting.
Huh.
Yeah.
Waiting to look at you.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting on you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he got to do the same thing. Well, we just wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's loving him.
Just with you, man.
No. Oh, God.
So when we get the attitude to come in the sanctuary and realize that we come in here for God. I don't come in here for the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling like I see it. I don't come in here for you, but I come to lift up the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we get our priority in the right order. I'm not trying to disrespect nobody, but we don't sit God down and put him here. And he's probably, I'm sure he's getting tired of that.
He's going to love us anyway. But when we get that attitude, it doesn't matter what people don't want me to do, because all I see is God, because my priority is in the right order. We got to get back in line.
Yes. Amen.
And he has opened up the earth and swallowed up family.
Okay? And so he don't play. And so, for that God to love us enough to give a sacrifice, to offer his own to himself.
Yes.
Jesus was the offering, and he was the high priest doing the offering.
Yes.
And he did it for us. Mm-hmm. Now we are just here. Do we really understand? Mm-hmm. We own everything Jesus owns.
Yes.
We're heirs of God.
Yes.
And join them with Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, my God. Do we really get that? I mean, oh, my God. I mean, if you think about what that means, and we talk about the Holy Ghost, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
Woo! Lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
You think Superman does?
Ah.
The same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
I ask God to help me to calculate that thing in my head. Because, I mean, we really don't know the power that we possess.
Yeah.
We really don't. We walking around and we driving 35 miles an hour. We got a 1,000 mile an hour car.
Yeah.
we really are living beneath our privilege, because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us, who knows everything. When you're trying to figure it out, he already worked it out.
Mm-hmm.
Every problem we have, he knows us, he has the solution already.
Mm-hmm.
All we gotta do is pay attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell it to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what to do with it. Now, if you don't know what to do with it, he ain't gonna get you.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't gonna waste nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing wasted, right? So let's go verse 7 and 8. 7 and 8.
For a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Even for a good man, a righteous man, it is mind-boggling for someone to die for him. But for a unrighteous man, an evil man, a low-down man, that nobody has any faith in it, it doesn't make any sense for him to die. But God has so much love for his creation that not only did he send someone to die, he sent his most precious. He sent his best. He sent his only begotten son. And the love that God had for him, he had to have much more love for us. Would you die for an alcoholic? Would you give an alcoholic $100 and tell him to go get something to eat, and you know he's going to go drink it up, or a drug addict, and then he'll turn around and spit in your face or curse you out or do all this other stuff the same way that God saw that Adam did to him after he created man and gave him everything that he needed, but he made a decision that it's like you got two beautiful high school prom girls and you choose one girl over the other one. And the one that you didn't choose was the one who paid for the limousine, paid for your tuxedo, paid for you to get your hair cut and all that. But you chose the one that can't stand you. That's pretty much what Adam did to God. Yeah, that's all I did for you. Now, you think that was love? I'm going to show you some real love. I'm going to regain, man. I'm going to give you another chance. But the first thing I'm going to do is kick you out of this garden. Because if I don't, you're going to live forever. And you're going to die in your sins. And nobody will be safe. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son. God really loves you. See, God loved Jesus. God, as they say, God loved Jesus.
He loved him.
and he sent him down here. I mean, can you imagine taking your child and send him down on Auburn Avenue? Go down there, but you're going to get killed now. But I want you to do that for all those drunks and winos and robbers and racers and drug dealers. But I love you, son, but you're going down there and die. That's what God did for us.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm back to it. We're going to be late.
I was in verse 7, I think, when I was studying. I'm not going to add any biblical thing, but, you know, I was thinking about one of the hardest things that happened in my life was when my husband died. Good man of God, saved, full of the Spirit and everything, and always doing everything right. He had been treated wrong, like you said, when your job treated wrong, he was not, you know, he was at that time the only black man in that position he was in, and I mean, notes left on his little work table, all kind of names, and but yet he kept on persevering through keeping his mouth shut, and even when new bosses come in, try to catch him up and fire him for stuff he didn't do. But, I mean, just a good man of God. But when he died, I mean, it was such a trauma, and it was so instantly, you know, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just so crushed. We had been married many, many years. But in that instance, that was the one thought that I had asked in God. Why him? It should have been me. God, I would have died in his place. I'm the one that doesn't stick to this and do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. So that was when I relate wanting to die for somebody or to take their place instead.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, you know, God had a different plan.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart was so, and not, I'm, you know, it was love too, but it wasn't just that. It was the grief thing. But that was, I was willing to die for in the place of this man of God, but God, you know, God knows who he calls. So anyway, so in verse 8, I had here, God, a couple of versions say that God demonstrated or showed his own love. And that was got me, not just that he showed love or he loved the world, but it was just the word own got me, his own love for us. And I was looking at that and mulling and praying about it. And so I think what the Holy Spirit gave me, I think, was in that his own love was in that he set off in glorious display his agape through Pentecostal infusion that in contrast to the way or how man can love. So his own love was he set it off in a glorious display of agape through the infusion of the Holy Spirit in contrast to, like we just mentioned, in all those other types of love, which I got from a prominent author about the seven types of love. Amen.
The Butterfield, huh?
Yeah.
I want to mention this about love, about God's love in comparison to men or mankind's love. God loves everybody. He died for the world. But there's one thing that you can't always find in mankind, and that is God respects loyalty. He respects loyalty. There's a special blessing that's upon people who have been worshiping and praising and serving God for a long time. Sometimes we put that aside and say, well, God, just the same with everybody. He loves everybody, but there's something special about loyalty. He's not going to, there's something that he will do for a loyal person that, you know, he's not going to do for everybody else. So even though it seems like, you know, sometimes it doesn't seem like things are working out, that if we stay loyal to God, that his love for us is going to show, and he's going to prove that he has chosen you, he has selected you, and because you have been loyal to him, he will in due time raise you up.
Amen.
And so when you love God, nobody can tell you about God, against God. Nobody can turn you around from God if you love God. If you like God, they have a chance. If you love God, if the Holy Ghost has put the love of God in your heart, I ain't talking about you just like what he do for you. I ain't talking about you want to come to church just because going to church is the thing now. You know, but no, you know that the Holy Ghost has put God's love in your heart. You're going to definitely be loyal to him.
Yeah.
You can't help yourself. You cannot not be loyal to God if you love God. And so love, that's what love does. And definitely it has to be agape.
Yes.
Because while we were sinners, right, he loved us. So it was unconditional love. I mean, it can only be agape. Because it's saying while we were yet in sin, and for a good man, someone scarcely to die. You know, I love my kids. And, you know, it has to be a special person to want to die for another person. Now, police officers and firemen are not normal people. And I say normal because they wouldn't hesitate to run into a building that everybody's running out. Everybody's trying to get out the building, and they would go into it to try to save somebody's life.
Lord.
Putting their life on the line every day. That is something unusual. But that's the kind of love God has, that he sent his only begotten son, his only son now, to die for us, just to bring us back to him. To reconcile us, the word we started on today, to reconcile us back to him. So we want to end there because it's after 1 o'clock already. And I thank God for you, and especially you. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. We hope that you've gotten something out of this lesson today. And so before we go, if you want to pay your tithes and offering, you can do that now. We got the square up here. You can play a card. You can go online and do that. If you do it online, please text Pastor Ann at 770-906-0607, the amount that you're doing, so we can account for Noonday Bible studies offering today. Amen? And we're going to pray over the offering. Father God, we thank you for this an opportunity to give back to you, to sow a seed on this word that we heard today. Because you have reconciled us back to you. And we appreciate you. We love you for it, oh God. We ask you to bless us right now. Bless us often, God. Let it multiply. Let it go to be used for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Father God, we also dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Bless us now. Go, take us, oh God, and bring us back on that appointed time. Bless Bible study tonight, God. Use of the earthen like never before. Let your word go forth with power and the anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You are now dismissed. See you next week.